Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to sit at your feet and hear what the Spirit of God is saying into the church. Father, thank you for all those that's live streaming at home, some other state or some other place around the world. Thank you for magnifying this signal all over the world in the name of Jesus, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be preached. As we share truth this evening, we thank you that the truth will make us free. We give you praise and honor and glory for the anointing that removes every burden and destroys every yoke. You are my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. And the Holy Spirit is a teacher of the church. So thank you for supernatural recall tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, members, partners, covenant friends. We love you. Thank God for you. We're excited about you joining our Bible study this evening. I encourage you to let some other friends know. Praise God. If you're streaming, wherever you're at, get busy. Praise God. Tweet, email somebody, Facebook or whatever you do. Praise God. And let someone know that the word for today is on the air. And help expand this signal, because truly, we're in a time that we need the word of God. So we love you tonight. We're excited about it. Praise God. Of course, we encourage you to join and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And that's another way you can help us preach and expand the gospel of Jesus Christ. With that said, let's get ready to get into the word. Those of you that have your Bibles, go with me to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. And I want to teach from the subject, the integrity of God's word. The integrity of God's word. God's word and its integrity is beyond reproach. He's a man who keeps his word and keeps covenant. And then I want to use as a subtopic, developing integrity. We know God cannot lie, and he's faithful and true to his word, but we need to develop integrity in our own lives. And that's why I want to use that as a subtopic. So those of you that have your Bibles, Numbers chapter 23, we're going to get right into this. Let's look at verse 19, one verse of scripture. God is not a man. Now, let's just start right there. God is not a man. God is not a man. God is not a man. Right there is our first clue, praise God, about the integrity of God's word. In other words, we're talking about a different category. In other words, he's not like a man. God is not a man. God is not a man. He's not flesh and blood. He's a spirit. So God is not a man. All right, separate. He's not in the category with men, because men are capable of lying. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he, for have he spoken, shall he not make it good? Not God is not like man who's capable of lying. That's one thing. First, understanding the integrity of God's word, you got to separate him from the category of men, because men don't all keep their word. Men will say one thing and do another. Men will sign a contract and then break it. That's one of the signs of the end time, is covenant breakers. Men will enter into a marriage and divorce. Men will, see, God is not like men. We'll say our vows and then later on it gets too tough. And the first thing to understand the integrity of God's word is you got to separate him from men. Because if you've had a bad relationship with men or women lying to you, you're going to struggle with the integrity of God. Because you're looking at God in the light of other relationships, human beings, my ex, my wife, my husband, my son, my boss man. Well, God is not a man. So the first thing to understand the integrity of God's word is to understand he's not a man, or he's not like man, that he should lie. Matter of fact, that's my first statement. Once you understand the integrity of God's word, your faith will stop struggling. You know, after all, he's the one who said it. What you worried about how he gonna get the money? He's the one who said he would supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So all you have to do is believe that, because he cannot lie. See, you're struggling with, what if it don't happen, and where the money going to come? See, you are doubting the integrity of God's word, because you think you're going to have to do something. You're trying to figure out how he's going to do it, and that's none of your business. That's the first step to stop struggling with your faith, and that's why we struggle. The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. Yeah, but the doctor said, and the lawyer said. See, what are you doing? You're putting the word of a man above God. God is not like man. Not that the doctors are lying on purpose, not that the lawyers lying on purpose, but they are limited. Any Christian doctor will tell you he's limited. He can only perform the operation or cut the flesh, but God is the healer. And until you understand, you're going to struggle with your faith, well, concerning your finances, your children, every promise of God, because you're struggling. You're questioning his integrity. God says he'll save you in your house. Yeah, but my son, my daughter, you don't know. They on those drugs and they part. I don't care. That's God's business how he going to get them all. I used to be on drugs and party. Look at me. I'm preaching to you tonight. You know why? The integrity of God's word. And that's why people struggle, doubt, and what I call stagger at the promises of God, because they don't understand, first of all, the integrity of God's word. Praise God that his integrity is beyond reproach. Look at Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. It says, by two immutable things, that word immutable means unchangeable. These two immutable things, number one, in that it was impossible for God to lie. Did you get that? It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Just like it's impossible for the devil to tell the truth. And you've been listening to his lies when he told you, you're not going to get your healing this time. You're going to have a car wreck. You're going to catch COVID-19. All he does is take fear for your life. He can't tell the truth. Jesus said in St. John, there is no truth in him, and call him the father of lies. But we struggle with that. It's impossible. So if God says he'll meet my need, I'm going to rest. Why? His integrity. I'm going to put faith in his integrity. If God says he'll save me in my house, that's his business how he's going to get him off his drugs. That's his business how he's going to bring him in. Hallelujah. That's his business how he's going to, you know, get him from out of that shack and whatever the situation is. It's impossible for God to lie. Why? Why? Why did he do it? Why did he bind himself with his own word? That we might have strong consolation. Meaning when something negative happened, and when there's a need and something is pressing, thank God he can console us. Why? His word. Who have fled for refuge, that's a place of safety, a place to retreat, to lay hold on the hope, watch this, set before us. What hope are we talking about? The hope that's in the promises. Why? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which hope? Faith is the substance of, there is no hope without the promises of God. Hope comes from the promises of God. To be strangers from the covenants of promise, back to the word, Ephesians 2:12, is to have no hope and be without God in the world. But because we know it can't lie, when sickness hit our body, when there's a bill or some tragedy happened, we go to God and find refuge, and we lay hold on that hope and that promises. Why? It anchors your soul or your mind, will, and emotion. This hope is both sure, steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. It anchors your soul. That's where the battlefield is, in your mind, your soul. And you need an anchor for your soul. When sickness and disease attack your body, and you know that God is taking sickness and disease out of your midst. You know he's the Lord thy God that healeth thy all thy diseases. And yet, because of the pain and the symptoms, we find ourselves drifting away from the word of God, and my back and my body and my feet. And then you see, but you need an anchor to pull you back to the word. No, but by stripes I'm healed. You know, when God says he'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory, which he has unlimited resources to do that. He's not limited to your job, your bank account. You're trying to figure out how you're going to do it, and you're looking at all these bills, and if you don't want you start looking, and you start drifting toward, well, I don't know how this, and by the end of the month, but you need an anchor to pull you back. No, thank God. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. Not once have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. See, this word, we need an anchor for the soul. You need to anchor your soul concerning your own healing. Anchor your soul concerning your finances. Anchor your soul concerning your children. Anchor your soul in the promises of God. Why? It's impossible for God to lie. And once you understand that integrity, the struggle of faith is over. I ain't gonna struggle. I didn't say it. If I promise you, you at home, I don't care who you are, one of my members, you called the church and said, Pastor, I need to borrow $500 to pay a bill this Friday. I usually don't do it. I've tried everything. I really need the $500. And I say, okay, I will meet you at Wells Fargo Bank. I'll meet you at Bank of America at 12 noon Friday. Well, praise God. I just gave you my word. We're going to find out whether or not your pastor's a lie or not. Well, if you trust me and you believe in my integrity, then guess what? You'll go to bed. You'll know, well, the pastor ain't going to lie. Pastor can't lie. He's like God. He has the character of God. We're talking about developing integrity. Shall I put my word on the line? And 12 noon, there I am. Matter of fact, I'm there before you with the money. Well, if you don't believe that, you're going to struggle. You called me tonight, which is Tuesday, and I told you Friday, you're going to struggle the next 3 days, up and down in your emotion. Well, what if pastor can't get the money? Where are you going to get it from? What if he don't show up? You're doubting my integrity. So once you understand that, now look at this other scripture in Titus. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, there go again. Integrity. He's not like a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring the path. I'm not going to struggle. I'm going to go to the word of God and hang my hat and anchor my soul on fact. God can't lie. My job is believing the word, not wondering about or trying to figure out how he going to bring it to pass. He said it, just like I promised you that money. It's up to me where I get it from. That ain't none of your business. I'm going to show up with the money. And, you know, I can see how that would hurt the heart of our Father. Just think, a kind Heavenly Father. He gives us his word. I'll meet your needs. Go to bed. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure no evil befall you. I'll protect you. And you toss and turn all night long and run back to Daddy, I'm scared. Well, didn't I tell you, baby? But it's dog. Yeah, but the bill came. I can just see it don't hurt his heart, but he has no pleasure in that. He'll doubt in my word. It's impossible for me to lie. And the Bible says that was before the world began. Wow. So you need to understand the integrity of God's word. Many Christians, listen to this, are struggling, believing God's word. Now we get into our own integrity. Because they lie so much themselves. Whoa. Maybe I should preach this on Sunday morning. We got a bunch of lying Christians in the church. Whoa, Pastor, now wait a minute. Are you calling me a liar? No, I didn't. The word of God said it. I didn't say it. Paul said it. I'm going to show you here in a minute. See, when you lie, and I know what you think a lie is. You think a lie is a straight out lie. No, a lie is just when you don't keep your word. You ask someone to borrow $20, you say you'll pay them back Friday. When Friday comes, you catch amnesia. Matter of fact, it's been months. You haven't said, you're lying. You're not keeping your word. Well, no, I'm going to pay them back, but you said Friday. It became a lie when you didn't pay it back on Friday. Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, yes, and no. All else is evil. You know how else we lie? You're going to come go to church Sunday. I mean, it's been a while, and I'm using this example. Do what is best for you, whether it's streaming or coming to church or staying home. You know I love you either way. Matter of fact, I get y'all guys' emails to have in church. I am your pastor. You know I'm here for you. But just say, you said, well, yeah, I'm going to try my best to be there this Sunday. And you know in your heart, you're already going to say, I'm going to watch the football game. You're lying. You understand what I'm saying? Will you lend me $20? Well, I ain't got it. No, you're lying. You got it. You just know they don't pay people back. No, say no. Yes, when you don't answer yay or nay, no, all else is evil. See, I'm trying to show you what this little hidden line, how we, with no integrity. The Bible says speak the truth in love. That's what Ephesians said. We're to tell people the truth. We're not to lie. Look, well, let's just show you what Colossians is. This is Paul talking to the church. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another. Oh, well, that, he ain't talking to sinners. That's the church at Colossae, born again Christian. And he's telling them, you got to step out of line. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you put off the old man with his deed. That's how you used to lie before you got saved. That's when, you know, the devil is called the father of liars. No integrity. Until we begin to understand. That's why you should be rash with your mouth. I think that's Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, said, be not rash. In other words, don't be quick to say something because your word should be your bond. If you said it, you'll do it. I'm going to be like my father. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. So we got to develop integrity ourselves. And that's a lot of that lacking in the body of Christ. There are preachers who get up and say, you know, we're going to receive an offering, and then for our guest speaker, we're going to do them all. We're going to receive one offering, and it's going to, and we're going to bless our guest speaker. And then later on, the offering is big, and then, well, what we going to do now, we're going to receive a love offering. No, wait a minute, you're lying. This happens all the time. And Paul had to, he's writing to the church, born again believers, spirit-filled believers, still lying to one another. When the Bible says in Ephesians, in order to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of him, we need to learn how to speak the truth in love. Amen. I can hear y'all shouting at home. Praise God. Yeah, lying. Just think about, oh, you want me to help you out? Just when you tell your kids something. I mean, let me just show you. Boy, you do that one more time, I'm going to whoop you. You do that one more time, I'm going to whoop. Every time you don't whoop them, you're lying to that kid. That's why. He said they ain't got no integrity. That's why they know they got at least 7 times. Why? Because you lied to them the first 6. I'm just trying to share a little stuff. Amen. That's what Pastor Diggs does. And see, if you lie on little things, then what happened? You can lie so much. When you lie, whether it's on purpose or whether you just a lack of integrity, something begin to happen. What it does, your spirit hears it and it deludes your faith and contaminates your own spirit. And it's because, and then when God tells you who cannot lie, I'll meet your needs, I'll heal your body. Because you've lied so much, your faith is deluded. And your spirit has become contaminated with those lies. It's hard to break through that contamination and grab hold of the promises of God. So the first step to learning how to develop integrity in God's word is quit lying so much ourselves. Learn how to speak the truth in love. I know sometimes the truth hurts, but you got to tell people the truth. You know, one time a preacher called me. And he said, Pastor Diggs, will you come and preach at our church? And you know, I wasn't sure, and I learned years ago, you don't, God say go, you go wherever you open the door. No, you pray. Don't you go walking in no lion's den. I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me pray about it, and I'll call you back, and I'll let you know. He said, well, here's the date. Well, I pray, Father, what would you have me to do? Do you want me to go speak at this man's church or do you want me to not go? And God said, no, don't go. And that was like 5 minutes after I talked with him. So I called him 10 minutes after that and said, no, I won't be coming. God said, no, man, I told him the truth. I didn't go, well, because I said, God told me not to. Well, I got to do something on that day. I'm already up. No, I ain't going to speak no lie. So you develop a lying spirit. You practice in lying. Then you begin to really take it on the nature of the devil because he's called the father of lies. Ain't no truth in him. He can't tell the truth. Praise the Lord. I can hear y'all shouting at home tonight. Amen. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Psalms. I'm saying Proverbs. Psalms 15, verse 1. And we're going to read verse 1 through 4. Verse 1 says this, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hills? Then he answered the question. Now notice it, abide, not just come. Who's going to remain there? Who's going to dwell in your holy hills? He that walketh first of all upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Speaketh the truth in his heart. You can put it this way, speaks the truth in love. What is the truth? The word of God. I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. Hallelujah. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Now look at this. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. In other words, he, if you said something, even if it's something that's going to cost you something, it might cost you money, it might cost you to go out of your way, but you said it, you don't change. That's God. He swears by himself and he does not change. See, when we put our word out and then we change, then it's hard for people to have confidence in you about anything. Why? Because you always change. You say it out. Yeah, I'll be out here. You can count on me, Pastor. I'll be out there Saturday. We're going to get that whole church straightened up. We're going to clean that room and put all that stuff out. And then you say that one week and then you make some sorry excuse. Well, my car broke down and then we have another project at the church. I'll be out there, Pastor. And you keep lying. But now you feel like your lie is going to cause you to be inconvenienced because you want to go somewhere else. Well, you change. Well, how are people going to have confidence in you? How are people going to have confidence in you? See, we're going to understand the integrity of God's word. We're going to have to develop integrity in our own life. Your word is going to have to become your bond. Praise God. And then if you say it's going to be there and something really happened, you see that you're running late, the best thing you do, at least call. Let them know you're on the way, man. I ran into traffic because some things, I understand, sometimes uncontrollable things, unpredictable things happen because that's just how life is. But at least call and say, look, I'm running 10 minutes behind. Or if you know you're going to be behind, based off before you leave, just say, look, I said two out there. I mean, at least you are not changing. You're still committed. I remember my son. My firstborn, Rashad, when he was a little boy, I said, "Dad is going to take you to Disney World." And why did I do that? Don't never tell a kid you're going to take them to Disney World unless you ain't ready to go right then the next day because they're going to remind you every day till you go. You say, "You're going to tell when we going to Disney World? When we going to?" Well, back in that time, Pastor, his daddy didn't fly like I do now. And so I drove, I'll never forget, I had a Volvo, I drove it. 12 hours it didn't work. I was so wore out, so tired. And then, you know, when we got there, oh my God, I thought, oh well, we here now. We didn't. We got the nope. Then we went in the parking lot. It was a million people in the parking lot because we went in the middle of summer, which was stupid. It was hot. Then I was tired, wore out, and I said, oh well, there's the gate. No, that's just where they come pick you up to take you to the gate. Oh man, my body was so wore. But you know what? It cost me something. It hurt me. It hurt me physically. But I proved to my son I was not a liar. And we have a great relationship to this day because I swore to my own hurt and I did not change. I don't care what discomfort. I don't care what inconvenience. I don't care what happened to traffic, everything that it caused. I really didn't get any joy out of it, but it was a joy. Just why I got a picture of him with Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, all, and we had those pictures to today. What's happening? I'm developing integrity. So if you're not gonna do it, don't say it. Dad, be quiet. If you quit crying, daddy gonna buy you a horse. You know, we'll lie, say anything. If you said daddy gonna buy you a horse, and you ain't bought, man, that's when they were three. They 33 and they ain't seen no horse yet. And you wonder why they don't have no confidence in you. Swear to his own hurt, changes not. Your word should be your bond. Because God's word is his bond. If we're going to be like our heavenly father, we're going to have to develop integrity. And once you quit lying yourself and get integrity in your own life, then it's hard to believe in a God who cannot lie, a God that is impossible to lie. So start keeping your own word, and it will become easier to believe God's word. Start keeping your own word, and it will become easier to believe God's word. See? Because you can delude your own spirit. The Bible talks about self-deceived heart. The Bible says if a man cannot bridle his tongue, in other words, say things that he does not do, he deceiveth his own heart. You can lie so much till you don't even realize you're lying anymore. Matter of fact, your lie becomes your truth. There are people who take on a lying spirit. That spirit take them over. And to them, they're telling the truth because they lied so much. So until you start keeping your own word, then it will become easier to believe God's word. In other words, integrity. You don't stagger at the promises of God. Why? Because I understand integrity myself. See, it's hard to believe in a God who cannot lie when you lie all the time. What you practice under pressure, that's what's going to come out of you. Now there's something devastating. You've been hit with some symptoms of a devastating disease, or there's a financial need, or someone has been in a car wreck and you need to believe that God can bring them out, and then you're struggling because your spirit is so deluded, it's hard for your faith to come to the surface because it's trying to break through all them lies. So start keeping your own word, and it will become easier to believe God's word. Look at Psalms 26. 1 and Proverbs 11:3. A psalm of David. Judge me, O God. Now watch this. Judge me, God. For I've walked in mine integrity. I've walked in integrity. Now look at the next statement. I have trusted also in the Lord. Because I walk in integrity, it's easier for me to trust you when there's a financial need. Because I've walked in integrity, it's easy for you to trust, for me to trust you for healing, even when symptoms is in my body. Judge me. I kept my word. Now I'm trusting in you because you're going to keep your word. That's why people have a hard time trusting God. For their children, for their finances, home, because these we call them lies, little sweet lies. Ain't no such thing as no sweet lie. Every lie is under that little white lie. It don't matter white, stripy, blue, whatever. It's a lie. You know me, coming out of music background, who is that? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Oh, yeah. Start hearing songs and we come. Ain't no such thing as no sweet little lie. Oh, you listen to me. Fleetwood Mac made that song, by the way. So, he said, I walked in my integrity. I've trusted also in thee. Therefore, watch this. I shall not slide. I'm not going to slide back from my word. There's no failure of falling away because I walk in integrity. Now I trust you in the integrity of your words. How you're not going to let me down. I will not slide or fall. Look at the Proverbs, I think. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Oh, glory. And the perverseness of transgressions, but that will destroy them. He said integrity will guide you. When you quit lying and start keeping your word on your job, being on time, keeping your word. If you said you're going to work overtime, work overtime. Keep your word to your children. Keep your word to your wife, your husband, keep your word to the people that you owe have signed contracts with. You told them you're going to have your payment in this time. Maybe it's you behind on a bill. Keep your word. You told them I'll be there Friday to pay that off. When you start, it'll begin to guide you. Why? Because now God is leading you. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, not the Spirit of Lie. He will guide and lead you. Once you realize integrity, if you just get honest with yourself and with people, you'll find that the Holy Spirit will begin to direct you. He'll order your steps. He'll teach you how to come on out of debt. He'll show you how to deal with this family situation. He'll show you how to deal with this job situation. Now, be quiet, because you're walking in integrity. So integrity is a huge part. That's why even though we are calling this the integrity of God's word, That's what I'm using as a subtopic, developing integrity. A liar is always going to be lost. Why? A lie will lead you in darkness. When you lie, it's darkness. Because once you tell one lie, I know. You got to tell another one to cover. I remember when I was on drugs. But you can be a Christian and lie. Once you tell one lie to your wife or husband or to you, then you got to cover another lie, then another lie. I remember that. I used to come in and stole my mama's car and let it roll out of the driveway. Didn't have no driving license. Me and my boys go get high. Bam, wreck it. It put a dent in it. And then in the morning, mama say, what happened to the car? I don't know. And I knew when I was lying that I was lying. So, but then I had to cover another lie. I don't know. Well, then I had more gas than that. I don't know why your gas. I done been used up all. Oh, now I'm telling another lie. Then I done dropped one of those little funny cigarettes, little marijuana. Said, well, I found this in my car. I don't know where it came from. See, I'm one lie to cover. Why? And it just leaves you in darkness. But integrity will begin to guide you. And you can sleep better at night. Because you can lie so much, you'll spin a web and then you forget what you done said. You done told so many lies, you know, about the reason this and that, that you done used that lie, now you get confused. But I know none of y'all at home do this. I know y'all just, you know, all our, no Christians, none of our members that were alive. Well, this is for them folks streaming in them other states and other countries. Yeah. All right, so will we learn anything? Yes, praise God. So start keeping your own word, and it'll become easier to believe God's word. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. Say, if you're going to build faith and live a life of faith, you're going to have to develop integrity. First of all, in your own life. Of course, God is not a man that he should lie. He keeps his word. He keeps covenant. Now, remember what Psalms 15, we just read it. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. I want that to be fresh in your mind and in your memory as we read Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to look with me at verse 13, Hebrews chapter 6, and then we're going to look at verse 13, says this. This is talking about God. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, remember what you just read about integrity? He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God swears by himself. This book, every promise is a blood-sworn oath. God says, who's greater than I? I'm number one. Who's higher than the Most High God? When I speak, I make covenant. And because I can't swear by no greater, I swear by myself that by my stripes you are healed. I swear by myself that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I swear by myself that I'm the Lord thy God that healeth all of your diseases. I swear by myself. Why is God swearing? So it can get rid of all doubt. But if you don't understand integrity, you're going to still struggle. You're going to still struggle with your faith and believe in what God said. Why? Because you swear all the time and don't keep your word. You change. But God says, because he can swear by no greater, I swore by myself. Now, before I go any further, let me remind you, because you'll think, well, that was Abraham. Wait a minute. Abraham is dead. Well, he's alive, but he's in heaven. You understand? His physical body is here. But you are. We're the seed of Abraham. God is talking to you and I. He swears to you and I. You know what Galatians 3:29 says. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Anything God promised and said and swore by. So he's talking to you and me, because I'm going to bring it home tonight. Because you're struggling with something. Maybe your children. Maybe your finances. Well, what if I could get it? And how is it going to happen? Quit struggling and just believe what God said. He said, I'm the one said it. The pressure's on me. So when God swore to you and I, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And look, let's keep reading this. Saying, not maybe, surely, blessing. I'm going to bless thee. And multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. And watch this. Here's our part. And after he or we patiently endure, we will obtain the promise. Let's keep going. For men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation to end all strife. Men, who are you going to swear to that's greater than God? There is no greater. I looked high, couldn't find nobody. I looked low, I couldn't find nobody. Nobody's greater than God. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about the one that spoke this earth into existence that I'm now standing here on this stage and living in. We're talking about the same God who slung the stars, the galaxies, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, all the galaxies, the Milky Way. And then created the earth and then slung the sun and slung the moon by the word. It was the word of God, the integrity of God's word. We read Genesis so much we don't even believe it. In the beginning, God said, he released his word. Let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth creeping things. Let the earth bring forth seed, producing at its own kind. And that same word, because of its integrity, praise God, begin to cause it. The word has creative power. And your words will begin to get creative power when you start acting like your father. Bill will come, or Satan will come. You'll speak the word of God, and you know that word will not return void. But the reason we struggle with it is because God says, because he can swear by no greater, an oath for confirmation to end all strife. What did that mean? That means there's no argument over what God said. I ain't arguing with the devil. God ain't arguing about it. He said, by my stripes you will heal. You know who argues? Satan. Yeah, but if you heal, why are those bumps there? If you heal, why you still got a fever? I ain't got nothing to do with that. There is no strife. There is no argument. It's settled. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. The integrity of God. The word of God don't change. Bumps don't change the word of God. The word of God changes bumps. Fever don't change the word of God. The word of God will change the fever. The word is eternal. But you see, if you don't understand integrity, you struggle all night. You just live by feelings, your emotions, and how you feel. Well, I don't feel like I'm healed. I don't feel like God heard me. Well, what did he say? Whatsoever asks the Father in Jesus' name, he'll do it. It ain't about how you feel. I don't feel like the Lord is with me. What did he say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It ain't about how you feel. He's there. He's with you tonight. But because you don't understand integrity, we struggle. And there is no argument. I ain't gonna argue with the devil or other people. When God started telling me years ago to build buildings and do it debt free, folks wanted to argue with me. You can't do it. You gotta do this. You gotta have sellings and suppers and put your folks to work, doc. No, I ain't gonna do that. I ain't gonna be selling no chicken. We ain't gonna be having no rum and sitting none of that. And I didn't argue with folks. I just believed the word of God. I'm the lender, not the bar. The day came that I owe no man nothing but the love of God. Why? Because I understood the integrity of God's word. Folks will argue with you, tell you it can't be done. And why it can't be done? Because of the failures in their own life. But when you understand the integrity of God is beyond reproach, there is no argument. So what does God do? Well, he swears by himself. God swears by himself. Because there's no one greater. To us. Then he keeps his word, which ends all argument. Praise God. I don't argue with folks. I don't argue with people about what God said. There is no argument there. Hallelujah. It's settled. I'm healed. My needs are met. I'm the lender, not the borrower. Anything God says, God, remember, it's impossible for God to lie. So that means anything he says is the truth. So even though we are live streaming Tuesday night, if God says it's not Tuesday, it's Thursday, guess what happened? All of a sudden, time that came out of his mouth, God would speed up the time. You wouldn't know what happened. All the calendars would change. All the watches would change. Worldwide time would change. And it would conform to the word of God because he cannot lie. And no one will know that we fast forwarded 2 days. Why? God cannot lie. And if you understand that, you'll begin to rest in the promises of God. God said it. We used to say, I believe it, that settles it. And that's partly true, but no, God said it, that settles it. It's to your benefit to believe it. Because if you don't believe, you can't enter into the rest. We which believe what? The word of God. What? Concerning your children, concerning your healing, concerning your, what God said about your enemies. He said, making your footstool. I'm not going to toss and turn over haters, who folks who have a problem with Pastor Dick. I'm just going to believe what God said. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. I'll bless those that bless you, but those that curse you and use insolent language, then I'll curse them. They'll be empowered to fail. I'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll prepare a table before you in the very presence. So I've learned to just let the word rest in what God said. Why can't I lie? In any area of your life. So God swears by himself to us. Then he keeps his word, which ends all argument. Psalms 89, verse 33 and 34. Look at the Amplified Version. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not break for off of him, nor allow my faithfulness. God is faithful, even when we're unfaithful. Allow my faithfulness to fail or to lie or be false. God says I'm faithful. Just because you lie, you don't believe it, I'm not going to. My word is on the line. And I swore by myself. Do you know what that means, by the way? When God swears by himself, because that means before I allow one of my promises to fail, I'll destroy myself. And if God checks out, then this whole universe is in trouble. But that'll never happen because he keeps his word. He says, I'm not going to lie. I'm not like a man that I should lie, nor allow my faithfulness to fail or be false to him. Watch this. My covenant, now you know what he's talking about, my word. God is a covenant-making God, a binding agreement that cannot be broken. He made one with Abraham. He made one with Isaac. He made one with you and I. We're in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. My covenant will I not break or profane, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Alter, alterations, change. He that sweareth to his own hurt and change. No, I'm not altering this book. I said that, but let me give you the new version. I'm going to delete. Nope. God says, I'm not changing. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. If I said it, I'll do it. If I spoke it, I'll bring the path. Did it come out of my mouth? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that's come out of my mouth. And when you begin to get in this word and believe it and renew your mind to this word of God and meditate in it day and night, and not just be something that you do on Tuesday night when I stream and come on Sunday morning, but get your own personal Bible study. It'll begin to praise God. Get it down in your spirit. And I'm going to tell you the integrity of God's word. You begin to understand it. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself resting good at night. You'll find yourself stuff that used to upset you don't upset you anymore. People who used to, you know, get you off. You don't even let them upset you. I'm not going to let what they say. Why? I know what God says. I know what he thinks about me. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give me expectation. So what they think and what they say, it don't even bother you anymore. Symptoms hit your body that used to, oh my God, I wonder what. Now all of a sudden you just no cost, you know that it's got to change. Why? The integrity of God's word. I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail, nor lie to him. I'm not breaking my covenant. And if I do, I'll have to destroy myself. And that'll never happen. And that's why Satan is always trying to lie himself. He know God can't lie, and there's no truth in him. So all he got is, you're going to lose your money. You're going to lose your job. How are you going to make it? Oh, you got a fever. That's COVID-19. Oh, you're aching. Oh, my God, your children going to die on drugs. Oh, and you sit there. And all you do, if you don't understand integrity, you start staggering at the problem. There's no rest. But once you understand God's integrity, nope. Now, you're going to have to get in the word, the anchor of your soul. There's work to be done. You don't have to do what First Psalm says. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. But in God's law, he meditates day and night, night and day. You begin to meditate. You begin to make your mind submit to the truths of God. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you feel. Until your soul become anchored. He said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he do, he shall prosper. His leaf shall not wither. God told Joshua, you meditate in my word day and night. I know you're going to see the Jordan River, and it's going to be swollen. You're going to see the great walls of Jericho, and they're going to look insurmountable. And you're going to also see the giants, but I've given you the land. And you meditate in my word until you begin to see. You get an image of what God says, hallelujah. The walls are coming down. Hallelujah. The giants are going to be driven out. That's my land. Huh? Give me my mountain. And the Bible says Caleb and Joshua had another spirit. So see, you can't be lazy if you're going to walk in integrity. It's going to take an effort on your part. And then when adversity comes, your house will already be built on the rock. It will not shake you. God is not going to change. Because he swears to his own hurt and changes not. So look at Galatians 3:29. So we're sure that when he said, when God made promise to Abraham, that he wasn't just talking to Abraham, he's talking to you and I. Bible says, and if ye be Christ, do you belong to Jesus? Yeah. Born again. Well, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs unto everything he promised or said. So when God was swearing to his own hurt, and because he could swear by no greater sin, surely blessing I'll bless. He wasn't just talking to Abraham, he was talking to Abraham and his seed, that I'll bless you and your children in their generation. Christ wasn't even here yet, but he knew he was going through the cross, and we was in Christ, and he was swearing to you and I will not break my word. I will not break my covenant. So that means, glory to God, ain't no pressure on me. It's on God. You get it. When God started telling me to build all these buildings, and they start sending me to build, and we was in the building process, and you'll get, $300,000 for that, the steel, the build, $252,000, lights, $700,000. I would just take the bills and say, Father, you have bills. Why? Ain't no pressure on me. You told me to build it. You cannot lie. And God never failed me once. Supernaturally, the money will come in. I didn't put pressure on people. I put pressure on the word of God. And listen, have fun building. Instead of worried about how you going to get it, how I'm going to make it, and what if we don't get enough, will I be able to still get my salary, all that? Never thought about myself. I thought about what God told me to do, because with vision come provision. Amen? Hallelujah. You remember Abraham, talking about the seed of Abraham, huh? Offer up now thy son Isaac. After all of that time, believing God for Isaac, the boy finally came. Now, Genesis 22, take him up the mountain. The Bible says by faith he took him up the mountain. Got ready to pull back the knife. And Isaac said, I see the wood, see the altar, see the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the son? He said, the Lord thy God will provide for himself a lamb. And once he said that, the ram was in the bush. And God says, now I know I got a man that has integrity like me. You'll keep your word, even to the point of slaying your own son, accounting that I was able to raise them from the dead. And the Bible says the name of that place was called Jehovah Jireh, that means the Lord will provide. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't know what you're facing with the need. The Lord will provide. Quit struggling, quit doubting, quit staggering at the promises of God, and say, God said it. I'm walking in and standing in the integrity of God's word. I'm not preaching to you just something that I got out of book. I'm preaching to you how I live, my life, my ministry, everything God do, everyone in this ministry. They watch my life. This is how I live. So you're going to have to develop integrity in your own life, okay? Let's look at Psalms 138. I know you're getting something. Psalms 138, verse 2. I'm going to show you how important the word is and why God swears his own hurt and changes not. Psalms 138. And someone said, well, Pastor, this how you just teach and put all these scriptures to support. Because over the years, that's what I'm saying. I'm so diligent in the word of God, the integrity. I'm going to act just like my father. And I said, if I'm going to be in the ministry, I ain't going to be very rewarded. And one, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy myself because I realize God can't lie. But you got to develop integrity yourself. Look what he said in Psalm 138. And let's look at here at verse 2 as we get ready to close here. He says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Then he makes this statement. For thou hast magnified, which means exalted, thy word even above your name. You have exalted your word even above your name. Now we're going to get into something right here as I get ready to come home. See, if your word is no good, your name is no good. People hear your name. That's why certain lending institutions, you walk in the bank, they time you walk in, they know, because they know your name. People down at the credit bureau know your name. They know all the outstanding bills you got. They know you don't keep your word. You understand what I'm saying? And so, therefore, God says, my name is on the line, so I'm going to keep my word. I swear to my own hurt and never change. Look at this in Amplified. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise your name, your loving kindness, and your truth and faithfulness. You have exalted above all else your name and your word. And you have magnified your word. See, that's bigger than your name and all what people say about you. That's what's going to show. That's what people are going to see. You have magnified your word above all your name. You know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah the healer, Jehovah the... None of that means nothing if you don't keep his word. The names of God mean nothing, and your name don't mean nothing if you don't keep your word. So let's put this statement as we move toward the end. If your word is no good, then your name will become no good. Wow. If your word is no good, then your name will become no good. You go around and you sign contracts, and you say you're going to, you know, finding this car for however many months, you know, 60 months, and you go back. You put your name on this and say you're going to do that, and you don't follow through, you know, and you file bankruptcy, you do this. And then you say, I mean, that's just part of it. It's more than just credit. I mean, you just say little stuff in church. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, I'll be there, you know, to play, or I'll be on the choir, and you don't show up. You say stuff. Because you have, like you said, you don't take serious integrity, and you rasp with your mouth. You don't think about the commitment before you say it.
I remember when I told them in Africa that I'm going to be coming to Africa every year. I got excited first year. And oh, boy, I had to repent. Because once I started going to the bathroom with them flies and eating them chickens that looked like, you know, had they were rubber chickens and had looked like hair, looked like you can take some shaving cream. And they talking about, that's our best. And I said, no. And my God, you know, I was on the stage and them big old red and green lizards start walking. And they were looking like, man, I'm watching these lizards. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be here every what? I started coming every other year. I repented. Well, I learned then, be quiet. See, I said that because I was excited about preaching and just watching the power of God heal people. So if your word is no good, then your name will become no good. Look at Proverbs 22:1. Proverbs 22:1. It says this, the chief musician, that sure not it is. But that's okay. They're going to find it, and I'm on why they're finding it. I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 22:1, and it'll come on your screen. You just stream it tonight, and you that are home, you can turn with me anyway to Proverbs 22:1, and everything will come together here. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Notice this, a good name is to be chosen. I mean, you got to make a decision to walk in integrity. Because your word should represent your name. You know, those digs is pay those bills. You know, those whatever the name of your family, oh man, you can depend on them. And they say they're going to come out and work for the church, they're going to be there. Huh? Come on now, integrity. And you can, a good name is to be chosen. In other words, you got to make a decision that I'm going to squirt to my own hurt and change not. Because when my name come up, I want people to think about integrity. For me and my children, that one thing about Pastor is that man will keep his word. He's just like God. Oh, that's the greatest compliment you can give me. Squirt to his own hurt and change not. So it's a decision. Now, why is it to be chosen greater than riches and silver and favor and love and gold? Because if you got a good name, they'll give you some money. If you got a good name, people will trust you. You know, a handshake used to mean something. You used to shake a firm handshake. Farmer shake hand, and he says, I tell you what, I'm going to be growing tomatoes. I'm going to be growing corn this year. And I tell you right now, you lease this land to me. And in the this fall, I'll take my harvest and I'll pay you back. And they wouldn't sign a contract. They would shake hands. And the man's name was good. Old Farmer Gray will do what he said. He pays his bill. But in this new age, man, people will tell you something and then lie like a rook. And they only realize it's messing up their name. And that's why a lot of credit places don't even want to hear your name, and your name is bad, and you don't like that, you know? And there's a lot of ways you can mess up your name. I mean, you know, not on just integrity, your lifestyle. And you get these tags. You don't want that. And so, if your word is no good, then your name is no good. It begins to affect your character. Like I said, a firm handshake used to mean something. That was a time that you could walk in integrity and say something. And I'm still old school. I'm still doing my best to keep my word, even if it caused me inconvenience. I said it, I'll do it. Did I tell you I'll do that? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fulfill it. And it first started at home with my kids and my wife, family. You got to develop integrity at home. Quit lying there. And then you move on out to the church. People just realize your name is good, man. You can depend on Pastor Dan. You can depend on that. It's just a good name. Then you move on out, and when you begin to establish your credit rating, you pay stuff off, and all the people we've paid off over the years, man, they talk about that word of life. Man, God, they paid off. Man, they paid everything they said pay back, and they did it quick. They did it before the time. Man, that's a good church, and many of them have come here because our name was good. You see, if you got a good name, money ain't no problem. Silver and gold ain't no problem. Favor ain't no problem. People will want to help you and get involved in everything you want. Oh, yeah. Diggs, that church, what they doing? What? They done bought a new building? Oh, yeah, I go down there. I work with him in it. I enjoy working with him. That's a man of integrity. Let's close with this statement. Then God and his word then are one and cannot be separated. See, that's why God's name and word is good. You know why the name of Jesus works? Because he keeps his word, integrity. God and his word are one, and you and your word should be one. If your word ain't no good, your name ain't no good. People don't think about your word. They think about your name. What is his name around town? What is his name in the city? What type of name do they carry? You know, there are certain names, though, when you hear Rockefeller, you know, when you hear J. Paul Getty, there are certain names that when you hear I can't think of his name right quick, but you know, the owner of Amazon and names, and people just think about, oh my God, yeah. Just you. Matter of fact, you ain't got a sign. You with who? Oh, you good. Why? Integrity. And God in his word is one. Who keeps his word better than God himself? You can't say if God, if he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Let's close with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. I want you to get this. In the beginning, God said, let the earth bring forth. Was the Word. And the Word have created power. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Well, if the Word was God, the Word is God. God and his Word is one. God and his Word is one. You can't separate them. The word can't lie, God can't lie. God can't lie, the word can't lie. And once you understand that, you'll quit staggering at the promises of God. Because before there was anything, the word was there. And the word of God is what brought the creative force of faith, let the earth bring forth, brought all this into existence. And so if God can't lie, and God and his word is one, then me and my word are going to become one. Because if my word is no good, my name is no good. Start to develop integrity. Start at home, then let it grow in the church and let it go throughout the business and school and all your relationships. And you will find it'll take you a long way when you walk in integrity. And you'll quit struggling at God's word and staggering at his promises when you understand the integrity of God's word. And you quit and you start keeping your own word. Then it'll become easy to believe God. God bless you. I know you learned something tonight. We love you. Write us, email us. Hey, we open here on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. If you can't, continue to stream. But just email me and let me know what's going on. Like I said, I know we got many members that don't be here on Sunday morning, but I know you're out there. I hear from you. Email. We love you. Me and George continue to pray for us. We're going to pray for you. God bless until the next time.